Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Today, I'm backstage at our sold-out Extraordinary Women's Conference in Lynchburg, Virginia, always hosted at Thomas Road Baptist Church. And joining me is an inspiring author and leader of women in both prayer and devotion to the Lord, Becky Thompson. Becky is the founder of the Midnight Mom Devotional Online Community, where over 2 million moms gather each night on Facebook to pray for one another. Now, let me start with a question. Are you raising your kids to be your partners in the faith? Or has the cultural battle swirling around us made it into your own home as well? I think this conversation will inspire you to recognize the opportunities you have as a parent to defend your family and stand boldly for the kingdom. Becky will share what it means to have a watershed moment and how to see God's hand in your own life when you experience the watershed and make it a turning point. She brings a word that will leave you encouraged, enlightened, and move to action. Becky, my friend, thank you so much for joining me.
Dr. Zach, thanks for having me.
I'm looking forward to this, ma'am. I will say this. You brought a word last night. I'm serious. Dropped a bomb in this place. Mic drop. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
What God did, I felt like his spirit just was all over that room. Mm-hmm. And it was in the word that he gave to you. Because you mentioned up front that you were with us in the spring and you delivered a powerful message then.
That's right.
But because of the shift in the cultural moment, God gave you a different word to bring. I'd love for you just to give our audience a glimpse into what you shared last night.
Thank you. So that's exactly right. I had a wonderful message in the spring and really enjoyed bringing a message of mercy and grace. And as I was preparing for this fall and in prayer, I thought, Lord, this is the same message, right? Like, yeah. This is what I'm going to share, right? And I would sit down with my Bible and my notebook and my pen and my laptop, and I'd begin to pray. And every time I did, I knew this was not the message. The one that I brought in the spring was not the message for this fall. Mm. And in July, the Lord gave me two very specific words back to back. I was driving over a bridge in our little area of Northwest Oklahoma, and the Lord said, watershed moment. And I thought, I don't really know what a watershed moment is. And I went home and I used a AI bot to Google it, chat it, whatever. And I typed in, what is a watershed? And it began to explain it. And then I typed in, what is a watershed moment? And it gave me an answer, and the answer was pretty basic, you know, just a before and an after, and it changes everything. And so the Lord began to speak very clearly that something was coming this fall, and everything was going to change. So, you know, I'm an author, and I've written 10 books in 10 years, and there's never been a time when I haven't had another contract, when I haven't been working on the next project. But even as this fall was coming, and my agent and, you know, my mom and I write as a team often. We're talking, what are we going to write about? What's the next thing the Lord is putting on our hearts? I said to them, I have to wait because I know this shift is coming. And I don't know what life looks like on the other side of it. I can't prepare on this side because everything's about to change. I went online and told my little online audience. Now, I have a big online audience.
A big online audience. Over 2 million gather every night to pray.
That's right.
It's amazing.
That's right. So I have the large online audience, but I have a small Bible study that I lead. And I told them on August 4th, I just feel like something's coming this fall, and we're going to be able to follow the Lord more passionately, be bolder, and trust him more fully. And I said, I hope that you run toward it, because that's how I'm entering this next season. It was August 4th. I said, this fall. On September 9th, our fall session of that quarter in the online community began. And on September 10th, I got a call from my mom that said Charlie Kirk had just been assassinated. And I know that I felt that, you know, that deep grief that so many of us felt in that moment, that uncertainty in the nation. I'm a mom. I wondered what this meant for my children, for the state of the world that I was raising them in. Mm-hmm. And it was after Erica Kirk's first address as a bold and brave new widow that the Lord said, I want you to go back and I want you to look at the definition of a watershed moment. Mm. And I pulled my phone back up and I tapped on that old chat and it's ChatGPT. I tapped on that old chat and I said, okay, what is a watershed moment? And this is what it said. It said, a watershed moment is a turning point. And the Lord met me in that moment, and I began to cry. He has seen the end of all things from the beginning of all time, and he knows every detail. And he knew the season the church was about to face. Yes. And the answer is boldness. The answer is a spirit-led. I love how Dr. Clinton, your dad, Tim, he said this, I believe it was at a World AACC event. And he said that heaven and earth are, I'm going to paraphrase, he said they're standing on tiptoes waiting the emerging of a spirit-led, spirit-intoxicated people.
Yes.
And I feel that boldness in this season. I feel like that's the answer. So that's the word that I brought here, that we have to be awake, we have to be ready, and we have to be prepared to give the Lord our yes in whatever influence we have.
It's powerful. Just again, it's a word of activation. I think as a church, we place a large emphasis on absorption, like as a consumerism culture. It's just like, what can I take from this? How can I memorize these verses and recite these verses? I remember one theologian put it this way, that we've gotten discipleship wrong in the West because we place such an emphasis on what Jesus said, but we don't place a large enough emphasis on how Jesus lived. And so like you said, right now, I think there's revival now more than ever. And I think it was prophetic in nature. You talk about that watershed moment that Charlie maybe had no idea what he was even naming the name of his organization and turning point. But we are seeing that very thing come to life today.
Right.
And so being able to see it, to witness it, to experience it, it's a beautiful thing. And Becky, I'd love to hear a little bit more from you as it relates to what you're seeing in terms of this spirit of revival. I mean, I think it's going all across college campuses, but it's beyond that. It's global at this point. People are flooding the streets. People are going back to church. Bibles are selling out of stores. What are you seeing and hearing from the women, even in kind of your congregation there on the online community space?
Yeah.
2 million women.
Yeah.
What do you see on a daily basis?
You know, I think people are encouraged.
Yeah.
I think people are, they're fired up.
Yeah.
But I have to be honest, there are so many women who feel like the battle is already in their home. They feel like they're already dealing with so much.
Right.
They feel like, I got a message from a woman who said something along the lines of, I want to be more involved in this, but I just don't know how with how much I have going on already. Like there was almost a mourning in her heart for, I feel like I'm missing it. I feel like I can't be a part of this great revival. And you know, we have influence as women. We have influence as mothers. We have influence in our four walls, and we're raising not just the next generation, we're raising our reinforcements. We're raising these people that are gonna follow the Lord and trust him more fully and be bold, but we can't minimize that influence. We can't say that revival is only out there, because I believe it has to first start in the heart of the person and then in the home, the heart of the home. And so I believe that the Lord is raising up mothers and fathers. I think that he's raising up the next generation. But I also think that being a mother in this season doesn't just look like the people you're raising. It looks like the hope and the dream that you're carrying in the fertile ground of your heart. And I used to say that, you know, a woman's womb is not the most fertile thing about her.
Wow.
That the most fertile thing about a woman is that she's a carrier of dreams and visions and plans and purposes and everything that's to come. And I think that's why the enemy attacks the heart of the woman so often, because he knows the influence that she has over others. I shared that a little bit here, that the enemy, you know, he, in the very beginning, he didn't go after Adam. He went after Eve, and he went after Eve because he knew the influence that she had on Adam. And if the enemy can keep us bound up and focused on all of our stuff and locked in and burnt down and overwhelmed, he can do a lot of damage. But I believe that the Lord is raising up women to be mothers. Village life ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. And that's what I hear. I hear this battle cry of mothers across the nation, mothers across the globe saying, this got too close to home.
Yes, yes.
This starts with me, and it ends with me, and it won't go past this line.
You know, I shared a little bit this morning from stage to the women out there about my own mom, and I just started to think about the example and the influence she's had on my life. And I remember growing up as a kid, walking down the steps of our home, and my mom would either be on her knees in prayer, she would be doing a Bible study, or she would just be saturated in the Word. And that, I mean, placed such a large degree of change in my own personal life, because I saw my mom's hunger for truth, my mom's hunger for holiness, and I thought, man, me and my sister, like, we just kind of followed in line. Like you said, it was an example that she set. And my dad, of course, did as well. But man, her leadership within our home was everything to us, and it still means everything to us to this day. We just stand on the shoulders of giants that have come before us. And I remembered a quote that I heard years ago, that legacy is not something you leave behind for someone. It's something you leave behind in someone. And that's what my mom has left within us. And I hope and pray that every mother potentially listening today would do that very thing. There's an old quote by C.S. Lewis, though, in his book, The Screwtape Letters. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, Screwtape is writing to his nephew Wormwood, and he's referencing that in the midst of division and cultural strife, and this was written, I mean, years and years and years ago from the cultural moment we find ourselves in, but it has great implications. He said this: make sure that the patient, or the human being that these demons, in a sense, are beginning to torment, make sure that they get distracted, believing that the problem is out there in the broken system, so that way they aren't able to see the problems that are within, within their own lives, within their own families, within their own homes. And that's what you're saying. You can't change the world if you don't put in the time to change your own. Becky, for you, you obviously have a love and devotion for your family. Your husband Jared's here in the house. He's on audio check over here today.
Jared.
Three kids. Speak to just your family dynamic, what God has been teaching you as a mother in this season, and have things changed in your role as a mom since the cultural moment we find ourselves in?
That's right. My kids will sometimes joke with me, you got to get off the news. You got to get off social media. And I'm like, no, because I know that there's a time to do that.
Yeah.
I know that there's a time when what you're putting in matters. And I tell my kids, this is how I know how to pray. This is how I can see what's happening in the culture. This is how I can keep a watchful eye and see what's going on. Because the Lord will sometimes give me, in his kindness, he'll give me this sort of peek behind the curtain, and I'll know the spiritual reality of what's going on. But watching the culture respond to it, what God is doing, has been so interesting. And so what we have noticed in our home, our kids have gotten out their own Bibles. Mm-hmm. My son's reading through the Word. My daughter's going through, like, you know, devotion plans on her phone. Mm-hmm. My youngest is reading his Bible, you know, more. It's just so interesting to see that this is not something that, you know, doesn't impact them. There is a personal revival happening within each of us, and it's the Lord drawing us. We're not just responding to what's happening in the culture. The Holy Spirit is drawing men unto himself. And I love the quote, I don't know who said it first, but that there's no junior Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that's in me is in my kids, and he's leading them. He's prompting them. And so Jared and I have been spending more time in prayer. My kids are enjoying more time in the Word on their own. But I have this gift, as you do, of participating in generational ministry. And so my parents that have gone before me, my dad was a pastor for years. He still has a pastor's heart. And my mama, she hears the voice of the Lord and trained me that this is no strange thing, that the people of God hear the voice of the Lord, and that we hear him in his Word. But the Holy Spirit, man, he speaks to us today. He tells us when to turn right and when to turn left and when to say yes and when to say no in his kindness. And so had a mama and daddy who were in the Word and who still lead in ministry. My dad, he runs the Midnight Dad Devotional Ministry, and he has a brand new book that he just released, 365 Prayers for the Dad at the End of His Day. And he has poured his wisdom, his decades of wisdom into praying for men, because this is an hour where we need fathers to know who they are in the Lord and to lead their families well. And my mom, she runs the ministry with me, the Midnight Mom Devotional Ministry. And honestly, in the last couple of years, she's taken the charge on it. I've been traveling and speaking and writing books, and she has led and prayed faithfully night after night. But she was an intercessor and a prayer for years before we began this online thing. And so I feel like I have this gift of seeing what it looks like to live in generational, intergenerational ministry. And this is what I want for my children, but I want others to know that it's possible.
Yes.
That the Lord hears the cry of a praying mama. The Lord hears the cry of a praying father. And it's the most important thing that we can do. Mm. Prayer is one of our greatest weapons that we can wield. I could go on and on, but that's how I feel about that.
It's so true, because there's the old quote talking about, you know, when we get to the other side of eternity, the greatest thing that we leave behind might not be what we do, but who we raise.
That's right.
And you talked about being a daughter of parents that love God recklessly, loved each other, but then also loved you. And obviously you being able to do that same thing for your own kids. And I want to jump in for a moment, just a little bit in the backstory, because I know God has called you to this, because clearly you're anointed. And again, you're a voice for such a time as this. But you shared a little bit last night being living in Northwest Oklahoma, right? But calling it kind of like nowhere Oklahoma.
That's right.
And being able to say that, you know, it might not have looked exactly like what you expected. Because I know there's a lot of people that struggle, Becky, with unmet expectations. When I sit across from people in counseling sessions, right, that's often the very thing we kind of begin to unpack. Life doesn't look the way that it's supposed to be. Share a little bit about your story, if you would.
Absolutely. So I went to Bible school to find a pastor husband, thought that I would be in ministry alongside a man, and I am in ministry alongside
a
man. It just didn't look the way I thought it was going to look. So my husband's the fire chief in our small town, and we're raising our kids together.
He's a stud.
Like, I wish we could, you know, pan to Jared. But I just, sometimes we go out in search of what we think is God's good plan.
Yeah.
And in his grace, he gives us his best plan.
That's right.
And so I have learned this thing that in the past, I have been guilty of crushing my own dreams, the dreams that God put in my heart with the weight of my own expectations. But the best thing I've learned to do in every season is to hold those out and let the Lord continue to shape and mold and teach us what his best plan actually is. I speak to a lot of women, and they're like, this is not how I thought my life would turn out. And it's usually because there's a pain or a tragedy or a dream that hasn't been met. And one of the encouragements that I always share with them is that the Lord, two things. The Lord has not overlooked you. The Lord has not looked past you and chosen somebody else. The Lord has not, you know, ignored the cries of your heart. If the Lord put those dreams in there, they will be, you know, I would have fainted had I believed that I would not see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, the psalmist says. The Lord has put that dream in there, and to continue to hold on, but to continue to allow him to shape your understanding of what that dream can look like, what the Lord can make it. You know, he does beyond what we could ask or think or imagine. And if you're imagining it, it might not be exactly what he has in store for you. But the gift is to continue to trust him, to continue to believe that he's going to do something good. And I don't remember the second point I was going to make. I was going to make two points. I don't even remember it. But the first one's so important, that God has not overlooked you, that that you haven't missed it, that it still can unfold. And that's something that I've seen in season after season, time after time in my life. And one of the greatest gifts is that I got to learn that by the gift of my husband, Jared.
That's exactly right. And he is a gift, and he's a blessing. And it's been a joy of mine just to be able to meet him this weekend and spend some time with him and what God's doing through him as a firefighter and as a leader and your guys' community. And then recognizing again just what God's doing through your whole family intergenerationally. And it's been just a blessing to see. And I'm beginning to think, Becky, about a mom out there
because I'm just thinking of my own mom and my mom's brought up conversations, and now my wife, as we're having conversations about kids, like, what is it like raising kids in the world that we live in? Because it's chaotic. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of division. Technology advancements, social media comparison. I mean, there was a stat by the CDC a couple of years back, 57% of our girls are recognizing themselves as persistently sad or depressed. 30% of our girls are saying that they seriously contemplated suicide. Like, that is devastating. And I'm thinking about potentially raising a daughter in this world. I mean, it sparks a little bit of fear, a little bit of apprehension here. And so I would love just to ask you, for a mom out there who she's feeling the fear. Yeah. What's a word of hope for her in this moment?
Don't respond to the symptoms. Here's the deal. Sometimes we treat the symptoms first and we neglect the root. And I think that if we spend all of our time out here fighting the smaller fires and we don't look back to where this all began, whether it's in her heart or in an issue that needs to be adjusted in her home, like, I feel like this is what you were talking about with the enemy and distraction. And we're out here and we're doing like, you know, I've got to focus on social media and I've got to focus on, you know, what my friends' kids are saying at school. And we're doing the important work.
Yeah.
We're treating those symptoms. We have to treat the symptoms at some point.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm not saying, I probably could have phrased that better. I'm not saying don't treat the symptoms. We have to get down to what matters most, which is, we build the foundation of our home on the Word of God, on the reality of a God who is alive, and not a God who was, but a God who is, and not a God only who said, but a God who says, not a God who came and went, but a God who is the everlasting, the beginning and the end, and inhabits every part in between. And when we keep that the main thing, and we believe that the Holy Spirit still speaks and still leads, we have to remember he cares about those details. He cares about every little thing. He cares about all of the symptoms, but he is ultimately the answer. He is ultimately the answer, and he will lead us as we care about the social media and the kids' friends and what's coming into our home. He'll help us walk the perimeter of our lives and find the entry points that we need to close and the doors we need to shut, and he will be the wall of fire around us, but he will also be the glory in our midst. And so when we pursue the Lord first, man, he deals with those symptoms. But if a mama or a dad listening, but especially a woman, if a mama can stay in the Word, and I know she doesn't have time, she has to have time in this season. If a mama can stay in the presence of the Lord, leaning into his voice, man, he has so much to say about exactly how to do all of the things that she cares about right now. Prayer is our greatest weapon in this hour. And prayer involves two people. It involves interpersonal communication. It is just as much about what the Lord says back to us as it is what we say to the Lord.
I want to ask two follow-up questions because I know our audience is probably thinking the same thing. Number one is, if they're feeling like they want to join the Midnight Mom devotional community, where can they go and what does God have on the horizon for the community?
So we're so excited. This is brand new.
Yes.
I haven't announced it anywhere
but
here.
Come on.
Fresh off the press. So we've been secretly behind the scenes building out a whole membership community that's going to have within that. It's just a very small entrance fee. That's it. But there are courses and there are community circles and there are resources that can be downloaded and there's podcast episodes. It's all in there.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be, I mean, we're talking just a few weeks away.
Wow.
So they can go now. They can sign up figure it out, but they can sign up to be notified when it opens. MidnightMomDevotional.com.
MidnightMomDevotional.com. And then
right.
Where can they go to potentially pick up a copy of those 10 books that you've written, ma'am?
Yeah, that's right. So PrayingMama.com is the name of our online shop. It has all of our resources.
Amazing. I'm going to throw you on the spot here for one last question.
Yes.
Whenever I sit down with ministry leaders who lead a lot of people to the foot of the cross, lead a lot of people to the feet of Jesus, that do a lot of praying. You do a lot of praying over and with women. And I just want to close this way. How can we be praying for you?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Pray that the first love of my heart would remain the first love of my heart, that I would always be for the King and his kingdom, and that the Lamb would receive the full reward of his suffering in my life.
Amen, my friend. I know we will be doing that. I know my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, my mom, Julie, our whole entire family have such a love and devotion for you. We're grateful that you're here with us at EWM. We're grateful for the future events that you're going to be with us and traveling together. You're part of our family already.
I feel like it.
I hope so. We do as well. And I just wanted to thank you again, Becky, for your time. Thank you for your wealth of wisdom and knowledge and experience and just imparting that with us today. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Dr. Zach.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.